At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into the Adam Carriker Show. The show that gives you unique insights, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I, when he's not taking one of his world-famous naps, have a whole lot of fun together. Isn't that right, Jake?
Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking about a nap soon, but they're waking me up with this.
It's usually when I go into one of my long diatribes, I look over and he's like looking like, you know, grandpa does after Christmas or Thanksgiving dinner on the couch, just sitting there enjoying life, not a care in the world, not giving a crap what I have to say. Isn't that right, Jake?
Something like that.
He said something like that. So he's going to admit to it a little bit, just not a whole lot of it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today, you guessed it, it's a loaded show. All right. Volleyball, easy for me to say, volleyball honors. Talk a little Nebraska volleyball to start right off the top for a couple of minutes before we dive into a whole lot of other topics as well. Defensive coordinator updates, three names. Okay, I keep hearing three names. Now, does that mean it's definitively down to these three? No, it does not. Does that mean, you know, it's not less than three? No. More than three? No. Nothing's definitive, but I can't help but notice a common denominator. These three names are what I keep hearing. That's what I can say for sure. Is there seems to be three names that I keep hearing. It doesn't mean there's not more or less, all right? Nothing is that definitive at this point, at least not on my end. All right, Dylan Raiola, put the rumors to rest. I have not said a word, despite hearing things a couple of weeks ago. All right, it's always weird to talk about guys maybe leaving when they're here to begin with, so that's always a little bit awkward to begin with, but I'll get my thoughts on that and him putting those rumors to rest. Transfer portal, guys. Who's in the transfer portal that we are directly hosting and or talking to? Who has entered the transfer portal that has become very enticing to go after? And there's a couple of names right there. All right, a kid out of Missouri. They literally changed laws, right? And I'll get into that in a little bit. I'm not a lawmaker expert here, but I literally changed some laws in order to work some things out with him to go to Missouri. Now, a year later, he's in the transfer portal. He's an incredibly talented edge rusher, I might add. All right, and who do we have that's coming back that I think are, like, there's if you're going to build a team or a program, I'll never forget when I interviewed Zach Taylor about 3 or 4 years ago. Okay, they were getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. They were literally the worst team in the NFL, had the number one pick in the draft when he was a coach, the first year as a coach, and then they built, went to the Super Bowl. They've been to a couple of AFC championship games, and I go, how'd you do it? He said, core players. Core players. He said, there's going to be people that come and go, but you have to figure out who your core players are, and you build around them. Who are Nebraska's core players? There's actually 9. I wrote 8 on my paper. I thought of one on the drive-in. And if I miss anybody, after I go through these 9 players, Jake, let me know. Text line, let me know. I've actually got a question. Tom Chattel is going to join me at 12:30. All right. I'm excited for that interview. I've never actually interviewed Tom before, so that's going to be exciting. And then to end the show, I'm going to fix the college football playoff. I mean, I'm just going to do it. You know, you're welcome. I'm just going to do it. I should be the college football commissioner. I'm just saying. They should have somebody in charge of college football who cares about more than just one conference or one team or just purely maximizing profit and crapping all over everything else about the sport. There are things about this sport that are flat out unacceptable. Can't address them all in a 15-minute segment at the end of the show, but I can address how within the 12-team format as it currently is, which I would not have in a 12-team format, but again, I've only got about 10 to 15 minutes at the end of the show. How would I alter? There's 5 simple things. In my opinion, very simple. It's as obvious as Emmett Johnson's our best running back. Heinrich Harburg should be used in certain situations. Have Ja'Cory Barney as a returner. Like things that are that obvious, not that complicated to fix this 12-team college football playoff. All right, let's start right off the top. It's a loaded show, ladies and gentlemen, as always. Oh, I almost forgot. All right, our new daily giveaway, ladies and gentlemen, be the fifth caller, and you will win a prize, $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions, 2040 Southwest 5th Street. To be the fifth caller, we will patch you through. I will make up a random trivia question on the spot. It does not matter if you get it right or wrong. It's purely just for fun. But if you're the fifth caller, you will win a $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions on 2040 Southwest Street. You can pick it up, your prize, if you are the said fifth caller, here at 93.7 The Ticket. You have 180 days with which to get it and use it. The Ticket Studios are at 11th. And oh, so be caller number five. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Dude, you were not napping. You were right. That was perfect timing, dude. I love it. All right.
Wait.
Let's start off. You snuck a nap before I got in here, didn't you? That's all right. Don't tell Vershawn. He won't like that. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Merritt Beeson, Andy Jackson, Harper Murray, Bergen Riley, and Lexi Rodriguez were all named to the AVCA West All-Region team. This is quite the honor, ladies and gentlemen. Rodriguez has earned her fourth AVCA All-Region honor and will now look to join Katie Rolfskin, who played 2013 to 2016, and Sarah Pavin, 04 to 07. Very nice. Sarah Pavin's one of the nicest people I've ever met. As the only four-time All-Americans in Nebraska program history. All right, Lexi, a four-year starter, three-year captain, has climbed to the number two ranking in school history in career digs with 1,843 digs. She has chased in Justine Wong Oriente's school record of 1,890. She got a good chance of getting it. You look at some of the names on this list, Andy Jackson, all right, really has played well as a sophomore this year, stepped up her level of play. You saw that year two jump for her. In her final two matches of the regular season, Jackson tied her career high with eight blocks in each match. That's being a force in the middle, ladies and gentlemen. Harper Murray, outside hitter. All right, Murray leads the Huskers in kills with 3.29% and adds 2.3 digs per set and 32 aces, the most on the team this year. Bergen Riley, all right, sophomore setter from Sioux Falls. Riley is the only player, I'm going to speak slowly, the only player in Big Ten history to win Big Ten Setter of the Year in both her freshman and sophomore seasons. She was also on the All-Big Ten first team in 2023 as well. Shout out to Husker Volleyball. Now, Nebraska is a volleyball state. Creighton, Nebraska Volleyball, both in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament. All right, I should mention this. We'll see if it happens or not. But I have actually reached out to Creighton coach Kirsten Booth. I just interviewed Jordan Larson. Look for that in the near future. Phenomenal interview, by the way. Phenomenal interview with Jordan Larson. But I've also reached out to Creighton coach Kirsten Booth to hopefully interview her as well. All right. So Nebraska is a volleyball state. We'll see what happens with that interview. Watch out for the Jordan Larson interview when that does drop. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I got a question for the text line. They can respond to anything that I'm saying. But I've seen other folks post on X some polls. Not to go completely off topic here, but are you rooting for Scott Frost to be successful at UCF? And I think at least the people in their reactions when they talk about the responses to their poll that they put out, they seem surprised that there seems to be a higher amount of people rooting for Scott Frost than they otherwise would have thought. So here's what I want to know on the text line. What's that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
That was a little slower. Get a little nap in there? No, I'm just kidding. Jake does a great job. Text into that number. Are you rooting for Scott Frost to be successful at UCF? I'm just curious. All right. So the three names that seem to be a reoccurring theme that I keep hearing. Not that there's not more. Maybe one of these has been eliminated, but what I can speak on is the common denominator names that I keep hearing. All right. Of course, John Butler. All right. We all know about John. He's going to be the interim DC through the bowl game here at Nebraska. There's a thought of, well, if he was going to be the guy, why hasn't he already been named the guy? Because there's other guys with legit interest that Matt Rhule wants to look at. Matt Rhule said that at the press conference. It's not breaking news. It's also of the mindset of, you know, why is it taking so long? Matt Rhule said he's not going to rush. He wants to make the correct hire, more so than a speedy hire. Now, I did think this was interesting. And I don't think this was posted by accident by John Butler on X. Whenever it was, I don't know, past few days, last week or so, work with the best, to be the best, all right? Talking about, especially in the secondary, years of developing elite defensive backs. And he talks about two-time first-team all-pro type players, three first-round picks. $300 million combined career earnings in the NFL of guys he's coached. I'm having a hard time reading this. The graphic is not very clear. But he's coached guys like Jonathan Joseph, Kareem Jackson, Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, Micah Hyde, Taron Johnson. I had a good portion of them at the Bills, also the Texans and the Ravens as well. I felt like, and this is just me speculating, like it's like, hey, yes, our secondary struggled this year. And yes, it was the weakness of the defense and it was inconsistent. And it was the one area of the entire team that did not seem to improve at all. Like I saw the O-line get better at times. I saw the blocking outside get better at times. The running back hit holes better at times. I saw the quarterback be more decisive at the end of the year. I saw the front seven do good against the run. That was the, and even special teams did better at things throughout the year. We made 8 straight field goals at one point. Now, the secondary is the one thing I looked at, and I was like, I don't see it getting better. Now, it wasn't atrocious to begin with. It was just, of the three units on defense, first level, second level, third level, the D-line, the first level, the linebackers, the second level, and then were much more consistent in their play. I didn't see that out of the secondary, so that's the big concern with people. Also, if you look at his resume, it's phenomenal. I mean, it is absolutely phenomenal. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think with John Butler, this is going to sound weird. I think it's, with a guy that has this much experience in the NFL, coaching major college football. I mean, if you didn't know, he was Bill O'Brien, who was Boston College's head coach, right? Maybe it's part of why he's the interim DC through the bowl game. Boston College's head coach, the team we're going to play in the Pinstripe Bowl. He was his defensive coordinator in 2012 at Penn State. So maybe there's a little bit of cross knowledge there. And that's so long ago. You know, who knows how much has changed from Bill O'Brien's perspective and how he calls plays and whatnot. But there's got to be some consistency from back then. But to me, it's almost the lowest floor, highest ceiling, because I look at what the secondary did and I'm like, why did we not get better at some point? Okay, but the highest ceiling, because you look at his resume and it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. This guy's going to be a D coordinator somewhere. And that's kind of how I look at that. And I've heard people say, well, he just got here before, you know, in the summer, right before camp. Fair point. He's trying to learn players' names. So is Dana Holgorsen. He literally didn't say anybody's name at a press conference. I think the two that he had, it was just 21 and this number and that number. He knew numbers. Okay. Well, he didn't have that long with them, and he was trying to learn the scheme and this and that. Hey, that all makes sense. I think my response, immediate thought anyways, was Holgorsen was here during the bye week. He was not the OC. And I was at practice that week. He was not the OC. Trust me. The bye week, the Sunday night after the bye week, going into USC, he's named the OC. So he's got 1 week as the OC versus USC. 1 week, week two, going into Wisconsin, bam, all of a sudden we look a lot better. Now, that is not typical. That is not normal. It was there the whole freaking time. Okay. It's not like he created magic. Just common sense was applied. Differences were made. They weren't gigantic, but some of the improvements were. My point is, when you compare that to what Dana did, which is a bit of an anomaly, okay, the potential to play better in the secondary was there. It was there the whole time. I'm not saying he'd be a bad hire. If this guy ends up being our defensive coordinator, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk about his freaking resume and everything he's done and why the ceiling is high with this guy. Okay. All right. Another name that you've heard quite a bit, Jim Leonard. I think a lot of people would be like, yes, I would be like, yes. You know, he's a 3-4 guy. He's a guy who knows the Big Ten, played in the Big Ten, coached in the Big Ten, interim head coach of the Big Ten with a winning record, 4-3. Okay. And his 7 games as an interim head coach a few years ago at Wisconsin. Defensive coordinator, had some of the best defenses in the Big Ten when he was at Wisconsin. I do hear that name. I think most people would be pretty excited about that. SMU defensive coordinator, Scott Simons. Now, I've had people say like, oh, man, Clemson scored a lot of points in that ACC title game versus SMU. My response is two-part. You're right. And did you watch the game? Because SMU started horribly. Their offense turned the ball over so many times early in that game. And they gave Clemson short field after short field after short field. The second half, Clemson didn't do diddly squat on offense. They made a 56-yard field goal. Kudos to that kicker. By the way, he winked to the sideline right before he made that. That's swagger, ladies and gentlemen. That is swagger. Like, it was a smile, it was a wink, and then 56 yarders through the upright to send us to the college football playoff, which they don't deserve to be in, but I guess they do. And wow, I was impressed by that. But here's what I'll tell you. You watch the second half of SMU versus Clemson, their offense didn't do much when they had to go the full length of the field. And I don't know, they did this thing called halftime adjustments. So if you want to learn a little bit more about Scott Simons, our defensive coordinator at SMU, Simons runs a multiple of the 3-4 defenses and focuses on creating turnovers. In 2023, Simons led the Mustangs to a top 25 defense. All right, and honestly, the team finished top 25 this year as well, if you exclude the ACC championship game and the short fields that Clemson was given. All right, before joining SMU in 2022, Simons coached at Liberty, where he produced a top, it just says top defenses. I should have dived into that a little bit more, but where he produced top defenses. All right, Simons was named the 2022 Dave Campbell's Texas Football 40 Under 40 list. Oh, here's where Matt Rhule's going to like him, and was named a nominee for the 2023 Broyles Award. All right, Matt Rhule's had two defensive coordinators. They've both been named for Broyles Award in the past. So that is, what are the responses right now as far as folks rooting or not rooting for Scott Frost there, Jake?
It's a little bit mixed. There's a lot of people that would love to continue to root for Scott, you know, kind of the always once a Husker, always a Husker type of thing. And then there are those that are very offended by Scott Frost altogether and don't want to cheer for him.
Kind of what I figured. What's the percentage here? Because the two polls that I saw and the people who were like, wow, this is higher than I thought it would be for Scott Frost, it was about 50-50. It was like 45 for Frost, 55 not so much, which was closer to 50-50 than they thought. What's your guesstimation on what the split is there, Jake?
Probably about 75-80% pro Scott Frost.
Oh, wow. Okay. I am telling you, it's going to take longer than Solich. What was Solich? 21 years before he came back and was honored at the spring game halftime? Scott Frost is younger, probably a good thing, and it may take 30, 40 years. I don't know. Maybe not. Scott Frost is in his late 40s. And when he was done here, is like mid 40s or so. I don't know his exact age. I could Google it real quick. Don't need to. You get the point. If it took 40 years, there could be an 85-year-old Scott Frost walking out on that field and the fans will clap for him at some point. I am predicting it. It's going to take time. I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to take time for Frost to be willing to do it, not just the fans. Go both ways. Topic. It's a topic for a longer show for another day. I'm just curious what the immediate responses are on the text line. Let's dive into some of the updates. All right, as most of you probably know, Keona Davis, talented defensive lineman in the portal. That one does hurt a little bit. Just a couple of other former Huskers that are in the portal, running backs, Savion Morrison, A.J. Allen. All right, this was one, and there are some folks that I'm going to mention here that are in Lincoln for visits this week, but I thought this was interesting. Georgia Tech star wide receiver Eric Singleton has entered the portal. And then J.D. Piquel, who does a great job, all right? He quote tweeted and said, if today is Black Friday, this is the TV I'm fighting for in the parking lot, talking about this wide receiver, okay, Eric Singleton out of Georgia Tech. We need wide receivers. We got a quarterback you want to play for. We got a coordinator you want to play under, okay? A quarterback you want to play with, a coordinator you want to play for, all right? So that's why I highlighted that. Oh, I just thought this was interesting. Best of luck to Malachi Coleman. But I did not know he had been clocked at almost 23 miles an hour at one point. Somebody just sent that to me, and I feel like that was valid enough for me to share. All right, Phillip Simpson. I was asked this yesterday. Is Phillip Simpson going to come back? I think towards the end of the show, I said it's expected, it's anticipated. And now, as you probably know, outside linebackers coach, phenomenal recruiter. Phillip Simpson is officially back with Nebraska. He tweeted out, no place like Nebraska, hashtag GBR, hashtag Flobraska is back. All right, Dylan Raiola. So, yes, there was, I mean, it finally kind of caught some traction yesterday. I don't mean finally, like, oh, why'd it take so long? I mean, as you hear things under the radar, and you're like, okay, who's going to be the person that takes this public? Because to me, I was like, well, he's on the team. It's weird to talk about somebody potentially leaving, whether it's Dylan or someone I'm not as familiar with. Like, it's just kind of unusual to me and weird. But I think the national show, the Cover 3 podcast, started talking about it, so people started picking up on it. So here's what I heard, and all the rumors have been shut down. Dylan shut it down last night with his Instagram story, posting he's all in. He's all in on Nebraska, all right? So for me, yes, Miami, absolutely. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Miami, okay? Also, I had heard two SEC schools, and that's as specific as I'll get. I know the names that I was told by a couple of people. There was some smoke there, okay? Dylan is all in. It's interesting, though. With rumors and things of that nature, sometimes I'm always going to err towards being a little bit later to talk about them. I'm always going to err towards the side of respect. You know, Emma Johnson came on, did an interview with me because he appreciated the way I handled the information that I was given per the source that spoke to me last week. He appreciated that. So, you know, having the trust of I'm a former player. I know what it's like to have your trust betrayed. Okay. So I'm always going to prioritize that. So the Dylan Raiola rumors are over. They're dead in the water as of last night. And I don't know. I don't have a whole lot else to say on that. You got any final thoughts on that before we move on there, Jake?
No, I know just some fans are upset that he had to, it even got that far, that he had to go out there and announce that. But it's I mean, that's great. I mean, obviously, you talk about your core players. I'm sure he'll
yes,
be one of them.
He's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that he had to, I mean, that's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. So when I'm sitting there, when I'm hearing things for a couple of weeks, you notice I didn't say, you know, if. I said when. When is somebody going to take this out, bring this out into the light? Like, somebody's going to. That's the world we live in. Okay, it just is what it is. I flat out said earlier, there's things about college football that are unacceptable. So to me, it's the way college football is ran and the culture that's been created in college football. This is the norm. That doesn't mean it's right. Okay. Final thought on Dylan. He was Nebraska's quarterback, obviously, this past season, but number one rated freshman quarterback in the country when it comes to passing wise. He completed 253 of his passes, 66%. For 2,600 yards, 12 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and he had more before Dana Holgorsen took over. He had more interceptions than he did touchdowns. The end of the year with more touchdowns than interceptions due to improved play the last couple of games. All right. Let's see here. Next on the list. Oh, final. This is my final thought on this. There was a picture that was put out of Dylan, all right, Dawson Merritt, and Mosey at a Kansas City Chiefs game. By the way, those are all three Huskers. So just connect those dots. All right. And here's a Husker I do want to shout out. You think about guys like John Bullock and, you know, Hutmaker and Robinson and all these guys who've been here a long time. You know, Ramir Johnson has not been talked about enough. Never wavered, just kept his head down. And I want to say thank you to every senior who has not been talked about enough, who has been here the entire time. A guy like Ramir Johnson, 2019 to 2024. All this drama around Emmett and that running back room. Shout out to a guy who's never complained, who just shows up every day, does the best he can with the opportunities that he's been given, got hurt at the end of the year, was able to come back and play. All right, 217 career carries, 940 yards, 6 touchdowns, 47 receptions, 428 yards, 3 TDs. I hope he has a blast up in the Pinstripe Bowl. And when I talked to Emmett, that was the one guy he highlighted. And that's what prompted me to say this. Like, Ramir Johnson needs to be shown a little bit more love before his career is officially over here. All right. Couple of guys that have entered the portal, and here it is. Missouri true freshman, Edge Williams, all right, plans to enter the transfer portal. 6'6", 265, will have all 4 years of eligibility remaining. He was ranked as a 5-star, okay, coming out of high school, number one edge rusher. And here's, let me see if I can find it real quick. All right. Yeah, it's actually Mitch Sherman. Shout out to Mitch. A massive name from the 2024 recruiting cycle, talking about Williams. The state of Missouri literally changed laws that made it advantageous for him to sign with Mizzou. And he's headed into the portal at the end of one season. Changing laws, and the portal says, thanks, but no thanks. All right, I wish him the best, though. Love for him to come here. And there is definitely, just so you know, I'm not the first or the 15th person to talk about this, and it's not the first or even the fifth time I've talked about this guy. But where there's smoke, there's fire. Dane Key, Nebraska. Dane Key, former Kentucky wide receiver. If we could get, this is a guy who could honestly enter the NFL draft right now if he wanted to be drafted. He's in the portal. We'll see where he ends up. There is smoke there. I hope it turns into legit straight up fire. What I mean is I hope he comes to Nebraska, if that wasn't clear. All right. And these things kind of intrigue me because, yeah, we have a bunch of players going into the portal, in the portal. So is Boston College. Their quarterback will not be playing in the bowl game. All right, Boston College quarterback Thomas Castaneos has officially entered the transfer portal. All right, Boston College's best wide receiver, Jared Bradley, has also officially entered the portal. The former Texas Tech receiver recorded 1,368 career receiving yards and 12 touchdowns. I'm sorry, yes, in his career. Now, wouldn't it be funny? What if he came here? We need a receiver. What if he came here, and then 2 weeks later, he's playing against, like, maybe he's a roommate with the DB. Maybe he's going against his former roommate. Maybe he hasn't even moved out. He's still got his crap in their place. And they're going against each other in the game. And then, like, the next day, he's moving his stuff out of their place. I know it's all hypothetical, but that could happen. How crazy would that be, Jake?
Yeah, it's a crazy one. I know Bill O'Brien even spoke at the, you know, they did the pre-Pinstripe Bowl press conference and was saying it's just crazy that the transfer portal is even open during bowl season. Also, it's nuts.
Yeah, it's asinine. All right, so actually, I'm not going to be able to get to the core players in this segment because I want to call Tom. I don't want to be late calling Mr. Chattel. And then the last segment, I will let you know how to fix college football, or we can talk about the core players, whatever the people want. They can let us know on the text line. Final thoughts here, though. All right, let's see. Omar Graham, Florida State linebacker. All right, there is dialogue and a visit here in Lincoln. And just to put this to bed, Jamari Butler put this out before the portal ended. His top three schools, Florida State, LSU, A&M. How can this happen? Tampering. Well, first of all, tampering never happens. Everybody's angels in college football, ladies and gentlemen. But he's a grad transfer. To clear it up with Jamari, he's a grad transfer. That means he went into the portal before the ninth because grad transfers can do that. So there was no tampering with Jamari. They can go in the portal basically whenever once the season's over. So just so you know. Okay. And the last player I'm going to talk about here, then we're going to hit the break. So he is also taking a visit. Phoenix Jackson, 6'6", 220-pound linebacker. All right, from Fresno State. Now, Rover, weak side linebacker, is probably how he would fit in the 3-3-5 defense here. He's rated the third highest graded linebacker in coverage in the country last year. All right, and let's see here. Sometimes I can't read my own notes. That is right. That is this guy. He was originally committed. I got to double check this because I just have here. I don't have a name next to it. But what I have here, yes, this individual. It's Phoenix Jackson was committed to Matt Rhule at Baylor. When is this era of the 1,000-year senior going to end? Nothing against Phoenix. He's playing within the rules that have been mandated. How crazy is that? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go to break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.